coach that knows about winning. I'm going to push you guys like you've never been pushed before. Some of you are going to wish I was dead. I eat quitters for breakfast, and I spit out their bones. Now, this is going to be the hardest, most difficult thing you ever attempted in your entire life. But you know what? When it's over, you guys are going to be champions.
Champion!
This is the Full Press Bears Podcast.
Packers suck!
A part of Full Press coverage.
I like this kind of party! I like this kind of party, baby!
Here's your host and diehard Chicago Bears fans, Kyle George and Joey Plotkin.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Get ready to bear down.
Thank you, and go Bears!
All right, hey Bears fans, we got some new faces in the building, but not on this show. This show, it's your good old host, Kyle George and Joey Plotkin, at FuriousGeorge94, at GoBearsDeep on Twitter. And this show, as you know, is about Da Bears all the time. We are having one episode a week, roughly, during this offseason. Usually we'll get those done, most times I'd say on Tuesday nights. This one's coming out here on Wednesday night. But for more news on the Bears, please follow our news coverage and articles at Full Press Bears on Twitter. Email us at fullpressbears@gmail.com. For any thoughts or comments you have or questions you have, we'd be happy to answer them the best of our ability. Please leave us a review on your favorite podcast service. Please, even if it's a bad review, we just want to get some feedback out there. This podcast, as always, can be heard on any of your popular podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. Who does anyone really listen to podcasts, Google Podcasts? I feel like it's, I mean, I guess Android users, but I feel like generally it's Apple and Spotify. But what is available on Androids and iPhones is the Full Press Coverage app, where you can also listen to this podcast and see all the other great ones that are there too. So please go check that out. But wherever it is you can go, be sure to subscribe. All right, Joey. So we've got Hallis Hall. Sounds like a place that is just extremely busy today. And the news is much hotter there than what the weather has been lately.
Nicely done.
Yeah, thank you. And so we finally have a new general manager announced for our beloved Bears.
Ryan Poles. It's Poles season, baby. I am fully Bears are back. Like, I'm injected into my veins, deep in the Kool-Aid, based on absolutely nothing other than delirious fandom support, etc. But Bears are back, and I'm loving it. I needed the bare minimum to bring me back to life, and I got it.
I agree with everything you just said. it's amazing how only a few weeks ago we were ranting and raving in a negative way about just how much of an imbecile George McCaskey is, and how horrible that press conference went, and the atrocity of calling one of your greatest players a liar and all this stuff. Like, and to turn it around now, and all of a sudden I have this optimism, like, it's crazy. And I love, so here's the thing is, you know, last week we went through all the names and we kind of ran through our favorites. I remember commenting basically that Ryan Poles, I was kind of like, take it or leave it. Like, I was like, I don't, I could go either way. I don't really have an opinion. What was your opinion? I don't recall.
No, it's fun. Like, of all of the GM candidates that we discussed and kind of went deeper on, like, Poles was probably one that we spent almost as little time on as possible. Yeah. So we were both just kind of like, okay, we don't, you know, we only knew so much about him. Yep. I don't think either of us had done like extensive background, you know, before any of this came.
I mean,
so it was just kind of like, all right, the Chiefs, he's probably, you know, he's probably a good voice in the room for a lot of the good that's happened over there. Makes sense. But that was it.
I mean, if you, and you know, listeners, if you listen to other Bears podcasts, which, you know, obviously we love that you listen to ours, but you know, there's a lot of really good stuff out there. So be sure to listen to some others to get the full picture. But not really anybody knows much about Ryan Poles. I feel like I've heard the same information repeated several times now about him. And we'll get into that information here in a little bit. But I don't think, Joey, that we're alone in being like, yeah, Ryan Poles is also interviewing. not much to say, but that's a name they're interviewing. Like,
yeah, I've learned more. Like, and in the like the amount of times I've heard, like, oh man, yeah, he was rumored. Like, we've got all these stories with Matt Ryan, and then it's like, it's the same kind of story I'm just seeing over and over. Whether it's like Matt Ryan standing up in his wedding video, and then I know Matt Ryan was on Waddle and Sylvie today, and kind of just sharing some old stories together. I don't know what else have I learned about him. I've learned that he was like, I loved him getting into the car in Alice Hall this morning on that video with the camera just following him.
Okay,
he's trying to play it cool, like he's not like tired as hell and minus five outside. He's
oh
just
my like, oh, word! All
right, we're good here.
He so, did.
Yeah, he won me over with almost nothing.
That car. Okay, first of all, that car video thing was hilarious to me because. So I was just trying to think of myself in that position. I'm a teacher, and we got cold enough wind chills by me that we actually had school canceled today, or we were remote. But I've gone to work in enough of those cold conditions where when you get out of the car, it is like a mad dash to grab your stuff and get inside because it sucks outside. Mm-hmm. And you're also, like you said, you're super tired because it's early in the morning and you just had a really busy and like exciting and dramatic day the day before. Like, I think we've all had days like that where you really don't want anybody up in your face and hear this. By the way, this also like totally freezing cameraman is standing there. And I love that it's not like the shot is just him walking in. No, it's here's the car parked and the exhaust, the car is still running because you can see the exhaust in the background. And the exhaust kind of gave like a fog machine dramatic kind of look to it. And then he steps out, goes to the back seat, gets his bags and everything. Like everything about it just made me chuckle. And then for the Giants to go and literally just copy the Bears idea a little bit later. Yeah. Like I still don't get why the Giants did that. Was that like, are they making fun of the Bears or are they like, do they genuinely think that was a cool thing or do they have that planned?
Like, it felt too, it's like, come on, that can't be a coincidence. So what is it then? Like,
exactly. So yeah, no, but I mean, he won me over. I think I tweeted out something about like, he already has spoken more than Ryan Pace did in 7 years. Like, let's talk about what we do know about Ryan Poles, and we can talk then from there more about our excitement about him. So what we do know is he comes from the Kansas City Chiefs organization, and he has been with them for all of his post-playing career, from my understanding. And I'm trying to remember, was he the vice president of player personnel? Was that his position?
I think that was at his most recent, like the highest level. I'll pull up the most that formal title.
But he is under Brett Veach, who's the GM currently of the Chiefs. And my understanding, based on different descriptions, is that he's basically the second guy. Like, he's Brett Veach's second man, sort of. I don't know who it is that's above him, but he's like right there. But what's significant about him is, and I know you're pulling up more details here, so correct me as I go.
Yeah, executive director of player personnel. And he dedicated 12 years with the Chiefs. I think after his playing days, he was a scout. And I forgot the college.
Yeah, okay. So he has a scouting background, which played into... I know when he started with the Chiefs, he was a college scout, I guess. There's definitely a title, but he was the one. So the reason that he's a significant hire, and I think the reason he came up for multiple teams as a person of interest, is because when he had his time overseeing college scouting with the Chiefs, this was during the time when they evaluated Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I would assume also probably Kareem Hunt and basically anybody else that has been on the Chiefs recently that's been good has been somebody that has been scouted and evaluated by Ryan Poles. So you have another person who comes in with a scouting background. He is 36 years old, which is apparently 1 year younger than the age Ryan Pace was when he was hired. And fun fact, he was hired almost exactly on the day the Bears won the Super Bowl 36 years ago. So there's our fun little factoid.
Yeah, good find. Yeah, I think the only thing piece I added that I came across, so I think it was because he played for Boston College, and then he first served in his role with them was football recruiting GA in 2008, and then became a scouting assistant for the Chiefs from there, and then worked his way up over the 12 years. So like you said, scouting background. And I think like I forgot who it was or what I was listening to, but someone had an insightful comment, which was like, as you grow in the GM position, it's easy to more or less like have some burnout. And the thing that's always going to reel you back in is like just simplifying it, bringing it back to the component you love, which is it's still scouting. It's scouting at the highest level. And so having someone that really comes from that world and is in love with all that scouting brings, like that's super encouraging.
Yeah. So one of the biggest things that people have been saying about why he's a good hire is because of the people he has worked with. And I'm trying to get all the names right now. What is the name? Do you recall the name of the guy who now is with the Patriots, but started with the Chiefs?
Was that Elliott Wolf?
No. Well, yes, but no, we're talking about somebody who Ryan Poles was under.
Oh man.
I can't. It's the more unique name of the bunch.
Yeah. We're more one and the same here.
I'm trying to find it right now as we talk, but basically what we know is that, I wish I just knew the name, but Ryan Poles has worked under many people. And here's the thing that's frustrating is that a lot of people are automatically questioning. Is that it? No, that can't be it. I've seen the name a couple times on Twitter now. But people have been questioning, like, why are we doing this again? Like, we had Ryan Pace, this young guy who came in. He was only ever with one team, just like Ryan Poles, and look at where it got us. Like, he only ever wanted to do the Saints way, blah, blah, blah. Well, the reason that this is different is because, one, just because he's young doesn't mean that he's inexperienced. As you already cited, Joey, he's been with the Chiefs for 12 years. He's been in scouting for 12 years, and he's worked under several different GMs who have all been pretty successful in their own respective ways, with the exception of Phil Emery, who hired him, which is the one weird factoid that I would like to not emphasize. So as I continue to try to find this one name, other names he has been under was Brett Veach, which I mentioned, who's the current GM, and John Dorsey is the other big one. So go ahead.
No, that's it. That's what I was thinking of. And the only other piece I'd add, like coming out of, I think on his timeline, like, again, it's one of those things that over the last 24 hours, whatever, I've learned a million times over is after graduating in 2008, he went to the Bears as an undrafted free agent where he was a member of the practice squad. And so for some of, I don't know, whatever it is, fans are just looking for that Chicago connection. Like it's kind of I think I took that more of like, hey, he brings that perspective of like being in the trenches, the offensive line, and some of that scouting. Like for all of Ryan Pace's faults, I think everyone would agree he was a good evaluator of defensive line talent, having played the position. I like to think that like if there's a point of emphasis that Poles might even bring from a personnel standpoint, to me it feels like it would not be a leap or a stretch to say that he's going to come in like really well-versed at scouting the offensive line. And maybe in turn, even defensive line going up against those units. And it's like, great, build from the trenches. Fine. Yes. Yeah. Like, let's see it. But really not a leap to think that he's going to emphasize shoring up the offensive line.
Absolutely. It's so far I've seen it mentioned, but I feel like it has been an under emphasized point of the importance of this hire is that being a former offensive lineman, like, you know, not I am anticipating a similar characteristics as Olin Krutz. Now, it's not Olin Krutz, and like Olin Krutz is very one of a kind guy with his emotion and charisma and his anger and everything. But just in terms of Olin Krutz's wisdom, I would like to think that Ryan Poles is on a similar level as that. And really, when you think about, at least in my perspective, when you think about successful coaches and front office members in football, many times there is either defensive line or offensive line. And I feel like, at least in my own naive opinion, being an offensive lineman is kind of like being a catcher in baseball, where they kind of know all the inner workings of everything, and therefore make the great coaches. You know, and the great GMs. And so I totally agree with you. And I found the name I was looking for. Scott Pioli.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Scott Pioli. So he worked, and Scott Pioli is now with the Patriots. So run through those names again. Scott Pioli, formerly with the Chiefs, now with the Patriots. You have John Dorsey, who pretty much famously has brought the Chiefs to where they are now and has now brought the Browns to where they are now, which I know some people are, you know, down on the Browns, but they're still, the Browns are more talented than they've been in a while. John Dorsey is now, I believe, a consultant with the Lions. And then Brett Veach, who is currently the GM of the Chiefs. So the reason that sticks out to me is those are three guys that he's worked under that all are still connected, or who have a track record of successful franchises and working with successful franchises. So
he's seen what good looks like, but done in different ways, like not just in one way, like, oh, this, I've always worked under this guy and this is the way we do things, and being kind of like stubborn or stuck in that, right? He's like, hey, I've seen like the good and bad, but overall I've seen success be done in all these different ways, and just be able to like blend that and put his own spin on it. Like, you have to have that adaptability at that level. So that's, again, we're kind of going off of what we know, but I think the other piece like that stood out to me was like, hey, going off of what we know, he seems like he was an extremely good interviewer, like he being a final round candidate, not just for the Bears, but for the Vikings. I think even last year, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was a final round
for the candidate. Panthers.
That's it.
Yep. And then this year also for the Giants.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. So to me, I was like, all right, you've got a dude who, if nothing else, is extremely good at interviewing for this position, which I think, like, again, it's not like, oh, well, he was good at interview, et cetera. Like, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And if he's coming into, like, for this job position, you have to believe that in order to impress, you have a plan. You're able to communicate it clearly. You need to do extensive research on the teams and have it not just like a general high level plan and abstract, but specific to what you're walking into. And if he's able to do that repeatedly, do that successfully and impress all of these teams, okay, that's a really good indication that he's going to be successful in the role.
So that is actually for me, and that's exactly where I was going next. That is the number one thing for me that has sold me on Ryan Poles, is the fact that he has been a highly sought after candidate by four franchises in the past two years. And when we say highly sought after, like you said, he was a finalist for these jobs. Okay. We don't know why he didn't get the Giants or the Panthers jobs. Okay. He was passed over for those, but he was, according to what I've heard, he met with the Bears yesterday and was planning pretty much right away after that to go to Minnesota if things did not work out with the Bears. And Minnesota had Poles as their number one guy. Yep. So the fact to me that he was a finalist, like, it's one thing if he just interviewed, but a finalist, like, that is key. And that means everybody is seeing a lot of good things in him. And I agree with you. It doesn't just mean that he interviews well. Like, that's definitely an aspect of it, but I have a hard time contextualizing in my head what a football interview looks like, because I've all my interviews are teacher interviews. Like, I know what to prepare for that. Yeah. But like, so a football interview in my head, I'm like, it's hard to know, but I would imagine that it takes a lot of preparation.
Right.
And like you said, he has to have a plan moving forward, how he plans to bolster the roster, improve the team. They want to know about like kind of his vision with whether it's free agency or the draft or trading. They probably want to know like what kind of offense do you want to build, what kind of defense do you want to build, what are the important things you want to emphasize on this team. All of these factors, the fact that he's a finalist for those means that he was a coveted individual, and you got him, so that is huge.
Yep, fully agree. And again, from everything that I've seen, I think one of the things he came in with, maybe not necessarily a demand, but I think he stood pretty firm in that he wanted to take the reins on the head coaching hire. And so Going all the way back to like where we started with some of this and our kind of blowback with George McCaskey's press conference.
Yep.
I mean, yes, that's our opportunity to kind of vent and be frustrated with McCaskey as it is, let alone the absolute like whiplash and craziness that he gave us in that press conference. So a lot of it was warranted. But if he had come out and said, here's the plan, right? We're going to do this extensive, thorough search and start with the GM. And from there, that individual is going to lead their head coaching decision. I mean, on that piece alone, I think like you and I and Bears fans across the board would have felt a lot less heartburn about the process as a whole, just knowing like that plan makes sense. That's the direction. And by all accounts of what we're learning up to this point, that seems to be what they're doing. And it seems like whether it was polls making that clear and like, this is, like, hey, appreciate it, but I'll let you know what I need, but I'm leading that head coaching decision. What, you know, once I accept the job, that's why you hired me.
And that is, again, I think most of this episode so far has been basically a game of ping pong where I serve up a good point to you and you reciprocate it. And I just feel like we're bouncing back and forth.
Yeah.
I agree again with everything you said. Like, that's another key component here is, And so I was listening to 670 The Score today, and Dan Bernstein was pointing out how his concern is that if you listen back to George's press conference, and they played it on the radio multiple times, there's a statement made where he says the final GM and head coaching positions will be up to me. And Dan Bernstein continued to harp on that as basically him saying, I don't believe that the Bears have changed that, just because he said it seems too significant of an organizational change for that to have occurred. But to me, if George McCaskey says that the head coaching decision is up to him, then he also has just as much power to just relinquish that power. Like, and ultimately he, as the chairman, everything is ultimately up to him. Like, I mean, like technically, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So I am,
and technically Virginia, because you know that anything, because he's not making a move without that,
right? And so I don't know, you know, I don't know where this idea came from, but my hunch is that it was definitely heavily from Ryan Poles, because, like, why would it, if Ryan Poles didn't demand this, why would Bill Polian be absent from Hallis Hall today?
Yep,
you know, like, he would have been very involved in this, and probably we'd be announcing Jim Caldwell as the coach right now. which we'll get into coaches here in a little bit, but I'm thrilled by this news, and I hope that overall that George and Ted are hands off on all this. And I would be very excited to see how Ryan Poles handles all this. And the fact that Bill Polian wasn't there today already, to me, is like a good indication that it's all in Ryan Poles' hands.
Yeah. No, nothing else to add. I feel like everything that we've learned up to this point gives us, like, it's nothing but green flags across the board. Yep. And that's as much as I can ask for right now.
Exactly. So with coaching, it's been reported still that Caldwell and Eberflus and Dan Quinn are the finalists for the Bears coaching job. And Caldwell interviewed with Poles yesterday. So like yesterday must have been a wild day for Ryan Poles, because he woke up and flew to O'Hare and was picked up in like a carpool kind of way by George McCaskey, which I love Bears Twitter, but
yeah, let's do this.
People were just, I honestly, so my personal opinion is I love the idea of the de facto owner showing up in person without like security guards or anything to pick you up. Like, to me, that's a very like personal touch. However, if he's going to have an interview, I would have liked to see George maybe not in dad jeans and sneakers.
Just like, not love the sneakers.
I know the navy and orange sneakers.
I also love how, like, I mean, I love the pickup sign having Poles' hometown. Yeah. As it, like, to be like discreet and subtle, yet George is wearing like Bears, you know, jacket and mask. And it's like, all right, what are you going for here exactly? I love it. Like,
and well, I think. Brendan Shugru on Twitter, he pointed that out. He said, for an organization that does everything so covertly and mysteriously all the time, like people talk about how the Bears like to move in silence, like for him to show up just decked out in Bears gear, like to the point where, again, his sneakers were navy sneakers with orange laces. Like, oh my word,
dude. The dude that filmed that, he was like some realtor in the Chicagoland area flying in from O'Hare who like captured the video. He must have just been like floored seeing that. Like,
I know.
He'd be like, is this actually happening? I gotta pull my phone out and record. Like,
if SNL were to do a skit where they were making a caricature of George McCaskey, that's like how they would dress the actor.
Yep.
For that. Like,
yeah.
And so anyway, that
I agree. I mean, it was, to me, it's like that again, everything that we know about the McCaskey family is that it's like that they're salt of the, it's a mom and pop organization. Yep. And they care, and they don't view themselves as being above others. And like, how many stories do you need to read about Virginia, like coming down and doing anything for her, you know, just whatever it may, like time after time. So at some point you have to just say like, look, they are who they are. Like,
yeah,
we can't like, let's, and I applaud them for that. Like, again, the whole private jet and sending a limo and that whole greeting, like, is it, you know, that might be a little bit more, that might be like arguably the right way of doing things, but it doesn't really fit the Bears or the McCaskies and like what this organization's about. And I think that endears to some extent, like the fan base as a whole should be able to get behind that. So it's an odd debate to me when others are like, why aren't they just saying, it's like, come on, that doesn't fit.
Well, I think where the debate comes from is people thinking that the McCaskies are doing it because they're cheap. And I just don't get that vibe from it. Like, my vibe is very much that, like I kind of stated, they wanted kind of that personal touch.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and say, like, for me, when I got this teaching job I have now, and obviously it's a totally different world, but, you know, in the past, before this teaching job, when I was taking a lot of different interviews, I interviewed with, of course, a lot of different principals and department heads and people there. Well, this job I have now, in the interview, it's a small school, but the superintendent sat in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that means the world to me when it's like, okay, like they are serious, like very serious about me being somebody that they're interested in hiring, right? Because the superintendent, the person who's in charge of determining if I deserve a paycheck or not, is in on this. Like, so in kind of a similar way, I kind of view that with the George McCaskey thing. Like, if I'm Ryan Poles, sure, maybe it's one thing for a random chauffeur guy to show up with a sign, put him in a limo, whatever. But to me, I just think it's genuinely a nice personal touch to have the head honcho pick him up in person.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's time spent talking and going through relaxed environment, right? Like maybe they didn't do the dinner after that because we'll get back to, I'll bring you back on track. Like the timeline of Poles' day, you know, it doesn't end with any sort of like, hey, we just want to get to know you and just do dinner and see how you are in a relaxed environment. But you're sitting in the car with George there and you're just talking, you know, and he's going to just tell you about the city and just hear about your story. Oh, you grew up in New York. I mean, come on. Like it's still about relationships.
Exactly.
It's really that simple.
Exactly. So Ryan Poles picked up, and then later that day, it's announced he gets the Bears job. And then it's announced shortly after that Jim Caldwell, who was in the building when Ryan Poles was brought in, that he interviewed with GM Ryan Poles. And it was written all over Twitter that GM Ryan Poles interviewed Jim Caldwell. And so a lot of people have taken that to mean that it was two people in that room, Jim Caldwell and Ryan Poles and no one else. Like,
yep. I think the Bears even released a statement that way and they tried to make that point pretty clear. It seemed like.
Yep. And so people have been saying, well, hey, that's our first good sign. And so then today, Matt Eberflus already had an interview scheduled. And then I think a little more, not totally last minute, but a little more last minute, Dan Quinn was added to today's interview slots. Mm-hmm. And here is the thing. I just want to make sure I'm totally up to date on Twitter. But something somebody was pointing out was it's very curious that the Bears have not yet announced that they have interviewed these candidates. Like, you know, at the end of each of these days, they'll say, today we interviewed blah, blah, blah. And right now we're recording, it's 8:40 Eastern time, and the Bears have not yet sent out that press release saying, today we interviewed Eberflus and Quinn. And so there's a lot of chatter on Twitter right now that Dan Quinn might be in, whether it's contract negotiations or final discussions with the Bears, and maybe when they release that statement, it'll be like, you know, we interviewed Matt Eberflus and we've hired Dan Quinn, you know. So that's where we're at with the coaching search.
Mm-hmm. Should we run through our thoughts on the what we know to be the final three candidates up to this point?
Yes. So first thing is, for everybody who has been holding out hope for Jim Harbaugh, it would seem that those hopes are completely dashed at this point. For me personally, I wouldn't describe him as the most polite person on Twitter. I have come to take most of what Da Bears blog says as most likely fact, or at least close to the truth. And he had tweeted out earlier that, Jim Harbaugh was wanting north of $100 million.
10 years too, which was to me the bigger piece of it. Like, a 6-year, $60 million, you're still talking about that $10 million a year, but to commit for 10 years, that's
right.
That's a huge commitment.
Yeah. So those hopes have been dashed. A lot of people are still there's some rumors right now that Byron Leftwich may not be as cemented with Jacksonville as people thought. And so some Bears fans are hoping that maybe Leftwich gets a second look with the Bears. But yeah, like you said, what we know to be the finalists are Dan Quinn and Matt Eberflus and Jim Caldwell. And I'll go ahead and start the reactions. Last week we discussed this, and not really any of these guys was I super excited about. I started off really excited about Jim Caldwell because the last time the Colts were in a Super Bowl, he was the head coach. The last time the Lions were good, he was the head coach. But I soured on him after talking to my friend Shane, who's been on the show before, talk about the Lions. And he kept saying that, you know, when he was fired, people in Detroit were ready for him to be fired. And the crazy thing about that is his last season in Detroit, the Lions were 9-7. So that was like their last winning season, and yet people were ready for him to be gone. That's like kind of concerning to me. Dan Quinn, I guess I don't personally have any major concerns, but people have been saying, but I feel like ever since the collapse in the Super Bowl, he has been the subject of a lot of people hating on him.
Yeah. Like, yep.
So I just kind of jumped on that bandwagon, I guess. And then Matt Eberflus, I was just, I don't know anything about him, but I don't look at the Colts currently as like exactly a model organization, or I don't like the Colts defense is good, but it's not like it is great, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to hire a defensive coordinator, like to me, they've got to be top five. Like Dan Quinn, Cowboys defense was like top five this year. Okay. Yep. And Dan Quinn obviously has
the head coaching experience. Exactly.
Vic Fangio was hired. Brandon Staley was hired after they had top defenses. Okay. But when Matt Eberflus's defense isn't in that top five, and I don't know, I wasn't that impressed by the Colts this year. I have hesitations about it. So,
yep.
That leads me to say that I have talked myself fully in to Jim Caldwell or Dan Quinn. I think I can go either way with them, and I know I will get behind them and get excited for either one. If I have to pick a favorite of my own, I think I'm leaning more on the Dan Quinn side for multiple reasons. Part of it is because of age. Okay, Jim Caldwell, I believe I've heard, is 67, I think. So, you know, how long... And he's had health issues in the past. So mm-hmm. how long can you count on him to be with the Bears? The goal would be to find a Belichick-Brady-like marriage here with Fields and the coach. And Dan Quinn is in his mid-50s. So you'd still have, you know, probably a decade of him. Also, for Dan Quinn, what's been pointed out is he's kind of like Andy Reid in the sense where he made a Super Bowl with his first team, but he failed in many other ways. Mm-hmm. But Andy Reid was given a second shot. Mm-hmm. And now Andy Reid has been wildly successful. And according to DeBears blog and a lot of other people on Twitter, it sounds like Dan Quinn has impressed every team in his interviews.
Yep.
And there's implications that he has learned a lot of from his mistakes in the past. My final conclusion, I guess, with that is I think he is the best hire of the three because you kind of know what you're getting with him, but he seems kind of like Ryan Poles. He seems to be a head coaching finalist with like every team he interviews mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. And he has a history of knowing how to build a really good staff around him.
Yep.
Which is arguably more important than the head coach himself. And then also just in contrast with Jim Caldwell's already had a shot as head coach of two teams. If you want to compare Dan Quinn to John Fox coached for two teams before the Bears. So the people who are saying that comparing Dan Quinn with Ryan Poles is like Ryan Pace and John Fox, I disagree. I think John Fox and Ryan Pace are more like Jim Caldwell and Ryan Poles. So
yeah. Yep.
That's my analysis on the head coach.
No, I like it. I'm not even going to do my full run through. I'm going to kind of pick up where you left off in a Greek. I think it summarizes it well. Like,
cool.
Dan Quinn's feeling like he's a little bit more up to date with relationships with putting together a coaching staff and being able to put and assemble a coaching staff that is top notch. Like, and I think that's what's impressing in so many of his interviews is his plan probably makes sense for a lot of these teams because it reflects modern NFL and it's, hey, these are up to date, top of the line, impressive, you know, coaching candidates from top to bottom that I have laid out in those relationships. And that, I think that to me is the main contrast between him and Caldwell, who maybe is just a little bit more outdated in some of those relationships and putting together the most up to date, like leading candidates. And I think that's really where the main separation comes for me among these, you know, what we know to right now be kind of like the final three candidates. So that was kind of my front runner of those three, still just being Dan Quinn. And I've, no matter who it is, like, I've talked myself into, hey, if Poles truly did have his hand in, because by all accounts, I think Poles was kind of sharing a lot of this information, who's on his short list as they're going through these interviews. And so I really don't think by any means that this was sort of a McCaskey-Polian like committee, you know, hand tying him just to these three candidates and forcing him to choose from there. It really feels like the opposite. So if that's in fact true, which it seems like it is, then I can get on board with whatever that direction is, especially with Poles making the final decision. And I'd be most in line with it with Dan Quinn, get behind it immediately. My only hope and my only other thought is, like, I would not hate to just see, hey, there was one or two others that are going to get kind of added in for an in-person conversation. Like, yeah, there's only so much that you're going to get. Like, I would just love to see Poles in the building and bring in, spend some time with Daboll just for due diligence, if nothing else. Like, if there's still a level of interest there, whether it's Byron Leftwich or Daboll or Flores or whoever it may be, I would really love to see just that extra step taken at this point, as long as it doesn't jeopardize them losing out on whoever it is that they would like to commit to.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that. And it seems, I was trying to scroll through Twitter again, it seems that Dan Quinn, similar to how the Bears were basically fighting the Vikings for Ryan Poles, it seems like Dan Quinn is a hot candidate for the Giants, as well as the Bears. And both of those teams are well equipped to hire because they have their GMs in place. So, it is kind of a significant thing there, how that might go down. What was the other point I was going to say? In terms of bringing in other people and it being forced, it's hard. It's hard because it's like, if they had these candidates pinned down ahead of time, sure, maybe they could have asked Ryan Poles, like, hey, in his interview, like, hey, would you be comfortable interviewing these guys as that we've identified as finalists? If he wants the job bad enough, he's going to say yes. I think I would also like to see kind of a wider net cast.
Mm-hmm.
But like you already said too, you don't want to miss out on your guy. And if Dan Quinn is the best guy that they can get out there, then I don't want the Bears and Ryan Poles to waste time interviewing other people just to cast a wider net and then miss out on the guy that they actually.
I agree with that. Exactly. Yep. So I fully agree.
There's concerns I'm having about Brian Daboll because why is he not hired by the Giants yet? You know, like the Giants have his GM in place.
Yeah.
And now there's reports that Brian Daboll is getting very close to taking the Dolphins job.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Which is part of why Dan Quinn is hotly pursued by the Giants. So it's all very interesting, this head coaching news. And at this point, just with our own schedules, listeners, we probably won't be having a head coaching episode probably until next week. So if somebody gets hired between now and then, you'll probably have to wait until next week to hear our thoughts. But
follow, I'm just going to plug you real quick because you've been killing it on the Twitter updates lately.
Thank you.
So just for listeners who are just looking for those breadcrumbs to hold you over in between, aside from other podcasts, and there's plenty of Bears talk and analysis out there. But if you're not already, follow Furious George 94 on Twitter because he's been like getting like my Bears fix of just keeping up with Bears Twitter. So just floating that out there too.
I try, honestly, I have a, I try to play, I take a lot of inspiration from Cam Ellis, just in that same style of humor I try to approach Bears Twitter with, along with some like serious thoughts here and there. So like for me, I don't know, like today I was having a lot of fun. There was, let me find it. Somebody, Jordan Schultz, who is verified. I don't know what his credentials are, but he tweeted that he tweeted Dan Quinn is meeting with the hashtag Bears right now. Source confirms. Chicago brass loves DQ's attitude and ability to connect with players, as well as his capacity to construct a winning defense. I'm told new GM Ryan Poles would ideally like to make a decision this week. So I took that just because this is how my brain works, and I tweeted, Dan Quinn is meeting with the Bears, the hashtag Bears right now, source confirms. Chicago brass loves DQ's blizzards and ability to connect candy with soft serve, as well as the capacity to construct creative combinations. I'm told new GM Ryan Poles would ideally like to eat a blizzard this week. It was just the fact that he put DQ.
They laid it up for you. It's just too easy.
So that's the kind of stuff. That's the kind of quality content you can expect from me on Twitter. But yeah, I appreciate the plug. So the last thing I really want to talk about here is totally shifting gears, going back to last weekend, because what happened during wildcard weekend, specifically with the Packers, is very, very much affects the Bears. And I love to talk about that game because I freaking love that game. For me, it was like, for all intents and purposes, it was the Bears winning a playoff game for me this year. Like,
that was all we had.
Yeah.
Let alone it being Robbie Gould to just like that.
Extra and Jimmy Garoppolo. Like,
yeah. And Garoppolo. Like, and the soundbite afterwards of just the fucking Packer. Yeah. Just all of it. We needed it. We'll take what we can get. That's Bears fandom right there.
Look, I laid money on the Niners money line simply because I wanted to root, I wanted extra motivation to root against the Packers. I didn't expect to win any of that money back, and I was pleasantly surprised. So, but what that game is, I think, could be a monumental moment for the NFC North for who knows how long.
Yeah, the fallout's been real.
Because already, like, post-game interview, Aaron Rodgers basically saying, I don't know if I'm going to be here next year. And I know he said that last year, but they still had decent control of their cap last year. And if you look at their cap this year, they are $50 million over, and they have to re-sign Devontae Adams. And they structured Rodgers' contract also so that he could basically leave after this year. And Rodgers said, I don't want to play for a rebuilding team, which with their cap situation, the Packers would pretty much have to do. The Smith brothers are probably going to be gone. I read from Peter Bukowski that they would still be able to maintain like Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones and some of their other stars, but Devontae Adams might be gone. Okay. So what does that look like for the Packers? And today Benjamin Albright was reporting that the Packers, if Aaron Rodgers leaves, might be very interested in Marcus Mariota, which is another thing. Like, what's up with Jordan Love, everybody? Like, what's up? And actually, while we're plugging my Twitter, I'll tell you the other tweet I was really proud of today that has like zero action. Is so let me make sure I have this right. So somebody responding to that Benjamin Albright report said, so how bad is Jordan Love? And then I retweeted it and said, I've got news for you Packers fans, and I posted this video from the Wedding Singers.
Love stinks.
So if you know that scene from the Wedding Singer, that's just like, Love is apparently bad, but yeah, so the fallout, like you said, is real. Like, it's wild to me what might become of this division. What are your thoughts?
No, I've just been enjoying, like, I think I heard from Big Cat, he's been listening to like 5 Packers podcasts a day since that loss, just to kind of track, like, all right, how is this all going to develop, and watching kind of a civil war break out among Packers fans and everyone. And I just love it. Like, I do think there's an opportunity here for a little bit of a reset or a shift, like changing of the guard in the NFC North. And I don't like, even for me, it's, I welcome it all with all of the mayhem for Packers fans, because again, maybe it's sad and maybe it's just like, yeah, at least, you know, like that's just Bears fans in the postseason right now. But you know what? Like, for all of the condescending and superiority and the I still own you and all the shit that we have to put up with, like, they're consistently falling short here too.
Yep.
So for that to be this sort of like, we're respecting this legacy and dynasty or anything like that, get out of here. Like, not even close. And it's good. Feels good.
Yeah. So this, and again, this is all just, so it impacts the Bears just so much, because again, when we look at where the Bears are, like, the Bears are at a point where if they hit on Justin Fields, if Justin Fields can develop all the way, like, the Bears could ideally slip into where the Packers, that same spot the Packers have been under Aaron Rodgers. If you get the coach right, if you got the GM right, if you got the QB right, it's a good shot. Yeah. And the Maybe Bears...
No, but, yeah, made even sweeter by the GM and the quarterback both being the number one targets for the Vikings. Just like another layer to this sort of NFC North shift of what could have been. And us just being able to kind of pull that out from the Vikings, like both Justin Fields, who by all accounts was at the top of the Vikings list. And, you know, now with Ryan Poles, who was, you know, seemed to be their top target for GM.
So a couple comments on that. One, I love that. Like, let's fuel that Bears Vikings rivalry, please. Like, I love that. And the second thing is, I think the Bears are in a, again, it's a big if, because it's if everything works out, but I think the Bears are in a better spot to take over the NFC North than the Vikings, because the Vikings still have their hands tied with Kirk Cousins. And if they were to move on from Kirk Cousins, they've got Kellen Mond. And I mean, I don't know where else they could go. I mean, if Russell Wilson's available, I guess you go that direction. If Deshaun Watson is somehow available, maybe, like, I'm sure there's going to be other options that probably pop up as the off season continues. But as it currently stands, the Bears having a very young and promising quarterback is a huge deal. And Kirk Cousins is something that their new GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, is going to have to deal with at least for one more year. And then you look at the Lions, like, the Lions are in a, they're going to a second year of a rebuild. It's unclear if they're going to draft a quarterback. There's not really anybody worth a high draft pick at quarterback this year, so we don't really know if they'll do anything there. And then the Packers seemingly will be on the decline. So the Bear, again, if you can get all these pieces to work together, like, you might be in a good spot. And I haven't tweeted it out yet, but I firmly believe, actually, that part of it will depend on who's head coach, but I think that the Bears are going to be set up next year. They're not going to be a great team, but they are going to be a good team next year. Next year, I believe the Bears will be one of the wild card teams. They'll be on the road for a playoff game. You're looking at probably a 9-8 or 10-7 record, is my hunch. And part of what leads me to believe that is because of the Bears' schedule next year. It's quite favorable. Mm-hmm. And I just look at having a new GM who is adopting a better roster than what Ryan Pace adopted. And he still has studs on this defense if he wants to keep them. And the Bears' cap situation has opened up a bit. I think that he would very much be able to get a stud receiver from who's available.
Yep. I'd like to see. Yep.
So the rumor is with the Dan Quinn thing and the fact that he was roommates with Matt Ryan, like, hey, Calvin Ridley's unhappy in Atlanta. Like, hey, Bears, maybe you should try to trade for Calvin Ridley, which would be amazing. But the Bears don't have much draft capital. I don't know. All I know is that my conclusion, and I think I tweeted this out too at some point today, was what the Bears need is the Bears need their version of Tyreek Hill / Cooper Kupp / Deebo Samuel. When you look at three of those four teams, and even Jamar Chase, look at each of these four teams in the championship weekend. Each of them have a stud receiver who is so dangerous that anytime they get the ball, it could be a big play.
Yep.
And that is who the Bears need, because Darnell Mooney is all we've got right now. And no disrespect to him, but he's not on the same level as those guys.
No, no.
And he probably won't ever be.
No.
Just being realistic.
And that's, yeah. And you're asking Cole Kmet to have to take a massive leap to be in the mold of Travis Kelce, George Kittle, who have been, you know, 2 years ago, the 2 years in a row for Kelce in the Super Bowl. That was kind of the tight end battle from 2 years ago, too, with Kelce versus Kittle, et cetera. So that, that's just a whole other level to all of this, is until you need to get the tight end. You need to get an overhaul. And maybe Kmet takes that step forward.
I still need that.
Me too. I haven't given up. But I think the other promising step that what you were saying, like the rookie draft class from this past year, another year for that, like to kind of build onto, this could be a 10-win team pretty easily. Khalil Herbert, Tevin Jenkins, Larry Borum, Thomas Graham gets another year to develop. You know, there's some pieces there that, okay, that's the goal, right? And it's like, don't lose sight of all that.
Yep. I have not looked much at what free agents will be available, or I haven't looked much at what the draft looks like either, but this much I will tell you is that very high on Ryan Poles' priority list right now is a center. I can 100% guarantee you that he, again, I appreciate what Sam Mustipher has done, and he stepped in kind of when there were a lot of injuries two seasons ago now, and, he's done a serviceable job, but he's been identified by many as like the weak link on that offensive line. I guarantee you that Poles has a center high on his list. Look for that to be one of his first either major signings or that first draft pick that they have in the second round. So that's my opinion there. The other top one would be a wide receiver, stud wide receiver. So
both of which should make Justin Fields very happy. And that should be the goal right now.
Yes, absolutely. So, I guess if you were to prioritize Ryan Poles' player acquisitions, to me, it's you could put offensive lineman / center and wide receiver as like 1A and 1B, and then the second one I'd put cornerback, and kind of go from wherever after that. But those are. That's what a lot of the draft capital should be spent on this year for whatever they have left. So, at this point, I'm just rambling. As you can tell, listeners, we're both happy about this hire. We're excited. I think we're just excited about the change, and we're excited to see where things might go. be on the lookout on our Twitters and for a new episode when coaching news breaks, and continue to enjoy marinating in the juices of this Packers debacle as I am. So Joey, any final words?
For I don't know even how many weeks now at this point, but what we've felt like we haven't had in the longest time is direction. And here we are. I think we've got our direction. We've got something here, a bit of a roadmap, and Ryan Poles is driving, and I'm trusting him. So Bears fans, we've got direction. Let's get behind our guy, which felt like I love seeing how quickly we all rallied behind him. And that's just like, I love it. And I don't care. I don't care what anyone said. Like I just Bears fans make me so happy. So it all feels good.
Yep. Yeah. Bears Twitter and Bears fans are a wild, wild bunch. And I'll tell you all right now, before I close this out, If you want some more fun on Bears Twitter, go check out. Do the best you can to try to get followed by Jim McMahon, because he's trying to follow basically everybody right now, even though he hasn't responded to any of my requests yet. And also go follow supposedly Dick Butkus's Twitter.
Oh man, he's a great follow.
Oh my word. Dude, I don't believe for a second that he is the one tweeting any of that, but everything he says sounds like something he might say. And like, when he got verified, he was like, well, now I'm verified, so Aaron Rodgers, come at me.
Been such a great follow. Yeah, that's a must for everyone out there.
Oh my gosh, there was one yesterday he tweeted like, oh, I think we should have Buttcoin, and spelled butt like Buttcoin, B-U-T, just one T, like butt kiss. And somebody retweeted it and said, hold this W, and they spelled hold H-O-D-L, and he responded and said, it's huddle.
It's like that. It might be him running that account. It's just not no.
It might be. I don't know.
I feel like only his brain would try to like recode it that way, and just in a serious way.
I don't know, but go follow that if you want some more entertainment. But that is it for our show tonight. So thank you for listening. Follow us at FuriousShorts94 and at YoBearsDeep on Twitter. But until next time, be great, be kind, bear down, and we'll see who the head coach will be.
Boom, baby! Fade to black! Been the Full Press Bears Podcast. If you don't love the Bears, we don't love you.